So you're winning. Republicans are winning across the country. How do you maintain good order and discipline as you march forward? Because you got to run through the tape.
You know, I don't think it's that hard. You just have to be very focused. And you know, the last month of a campaign season really does that to you. I think when I think about things that we could screw up, you know, one is we got to keep the fundraising momentum, because obviously Tim Ryan and a lot of the other national Democrats are raising a lot of money from their small dollar digital operation. So we got to make sure we keep the fundraising momentum. And the second thing, Hugh, is we got to make sure in these debates that we prosecute the case smartly, that we don't make any stupid mistakes. But we had some good Republican primary debates. I'm not worried about that. And like you said, I think we are winning. I think we'll keep the momentum. And hopefully we can expand the lead a little bit here the next month.
It's interesting, J.D., about debates. I moderated a GOP Senate debate in Ohio last year. I noticed at that time you stay incredibly focused. You never go over. You answer the question, and then you always make sure to turn to hit a focused issue. And that's like Yale Law School must have taught you something.
I don't know. Yale Law School gets crazier and crazier. But no, it's definitely – the thing that I try to do in debates, Hugh, is I try to answer the question. I think that, you know, I've watched enough political debates until this season, of course, had never participated in any myself. But, you know, these people have their canned lines. They have their slogans. And it's, of course, okay to have a theme that you want to hit, to make a point that you clearly want to make for voters. But I think you should have enough respect for people to actually answer the question they ask you. That's what I try to do.
Hugh, at debate coach mode on right now, if one of your moderators becomes blocking and tackling a guard or tackle for Tim, don't get mad at Tim. Get mad at the moderator. And don't get mad. Just say, you know, Hugh, if that's the moderator, I understand your question is designed to embarrass me and to help Tim out. I get it. The media is for Tim. But here's the I mean, have you had to do that yet?
No, we haven't had to do that yet. I mean, we definitely give it back to the media if we feel like they're asking a fair question. You know, I'll say, look, I don't accept the premise of that question, and let's actually talk about what really happened. So we'll definitely do that in the debate if we have to. I think they do have a couple of pretty fair moderators that they've selected for the next debate in Cleveland. Then we have one not far from your hometown on the 17th in Youngstown. So I think we're going to have good debates. Hopefully the moderators will keep everything in check. The format of the next one is pretty interesting, Hugh. So instead of doing the classic, you know, 60 minutes for a response, 30 seconds for a rebuttal, they're just spending 5 minutes on each topic, and I think they're designed to allow us to spend a fair amount of time on each issue. We'll see how it looks in practice, but I'm pretty excited about it.
Well, let's see if you've got a Chris Wallace sitting there who becomes the debate, a third participant. Happened in Nevada this week when John Ralston got in between, and obviously a Democrat fighting for the Democrats. We'll see. But it's interesting to me they're doing the debates in the northeast of Ohio. Now, Middleton is where you're from. You know steel towns. So you're up in the Steel Valley. Cleveland, of course, is steel and car town. I'm glad they picked that turf. That's where Democrats have to win by a lot. If you get attention and hold down turnout, you'll help the ticket up and down throughout Ohio.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, obviously the Youngstown area has trended more and more red over the last 20 or 30 years. I think really accelerated. So hopefully we can perform well on Tim Ryan's turf. I think that we will. We wanted to do the debate in the Cincinnati area, which is obviously, you know, where I'm from and where I live now. Unfortunately, it just didn't work out. The timing's a little tight on a campaign, and unfortunately that location just didn't work out.
So, J.D., closing kick, I'm writing a column for the Post. It seems to me that the issue set that people are talking about are inflation, crime, the border, education, sometimes China. Democrats want to talk about abortion. The voters don't. I mean, activists do, pro-choice rights activists want to, but the voters don't. They want to talk about inflation, groceries, gas. I don't know what gas is doing in Ohio right now. Have I got it right? Inflation, crime, the border, education in China.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think that, you know, we're in Cleveland right now. We're doing a bunch of campaign events in the Northeast and Central Ohio today. And on the way up here last night, I noticed gas was $4 a gallon at a gas station we drove by. The first time I've seen that actually in the state of Ohio in at least a few weeks, maybe even longer than that. So things are starting to tick back up, unfortunately, on the gas front. I think that will obviously be bad for the Democrats politically. Certainly the border issue, the fentanyl crisis, and a ton about crime. I mean, just from suburban voters, I hear a ton about the lawlessness on American streets. It's a big issue, and it's not just here, you know, in the Cleveland area or the Cincinnati area or the big cities. You know, Findlay, Ohio, one of the great and beautiful small towns in our country, now has a major chronic homelessness population, a major drug problem because of
in Findlay?
The last couple of years. In Findlay, 400 chronically homeless folks in the streets of Findlay, at least 100 of them typically sleeping outside in any given night. I just heard that from law enforcement a couple of days ago. It's really bad out there, even in some of our most idyllic and most prosperous small towns. So we've got a problem to deal with, and I think that because of that, Republicans are going to get rewarded in November, and then we have to do something with it.
J.D., there's a big issue brewing in America. In Arizona, Doug Ducey in the Arizona legislature led the way to make school funding follow the student. Whether they choose a public school, any public school, a private school, or homeschooling, the funding follows the student. That's not a federal issue, except the federal government can screw that up if it wants to. Will you be pledged to assist any state that wants to make the transition to freedom of choice in schooling?
I will, and there's a big movement here in Ohio. You know, our mutual friend Aaron Baer and a lot of other folks are trying to get a backpack bill passed in the state of Ohio. I'll certainly support it for my platform in the Senate, and hopefully, like you said, ensure the federal government doesn't screw this up. I will say, Hugh, one of the ways in which the federal government really screws up education right now is that it provides effectively, you know, no questions asked funding to a lot of these very radical organizations that are pushing the critical race theory, the critical gender ideology into American schools via the curriculum. So we're funding the curriculum development that our parents are most upset about. I think at the federal level, we have to start doing something about that. And like you said, keep the local governments engaged in this issue, because I think parents are really taking power back, and we have to ensure that momentum continues.